Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Las Vegas. You are tuned in to the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast. I'm your host, Bethany, and I am joined by my co-host, my fellow Sagittarius. We have Meek and Elizabeth. And here at Crazy Sexy Cool, we give our black-ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. So let's jump right into it. How y'all doing?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing? How you feeling? Relaxed from Tulum?
Mexico?
How was that trip?
Oh, God. I'm exhausted. I'm going to be real. I'm tired as hell. So, I'm going to just say this. This is my third week without a Red Bull. And when you, every time, when I was at the airport, I'm like looking in the stores, like, love a Red Bull to stay awake. Because, you know, flying, like, to go to Tulum, you have to fly to Cancun. And then it's a 90-minute drive to Tulum. So, I'm tired. Like, I'm not just going to Atlanta, North Carolina, New York, or whatever. This is a whole trip. It takes a whole day to get back home. So I'm just still trying to, like, get back on track. But, yeah. And not to mention that when I was there, things kind of got shut down by Hurricane Delta. Like, she really showed up and showed out. Like, the power went out in Cancun. It was bad. They were putting people in convention centers and schools because they were so afraid, because it was a Category 4 hurricane, that they were putting people in shelters. So it was a lot.
I mean, I think that was because Hurricane Delta heard that Elizabeth and Meek, you know, was not able to make it. So she was she came through that shit and shut all that shit down.
Yo, like, I kept waking up in the middle of the night checking the weather and shit, because first off, our Airbnb got canceled and we had to find something like last minute. We finally found something. It was a nice condo, but, you know, after, everybody was just like, yo, let's drink. And it's a house full of women. Like, so my thing is, like, when I'm drinking, I don't like to get drunk because I get too turned up and I'd be ready to have sex. And I'm in a house full of women. No, none of y'all have what I need in this moment. Like, I'm stressed. I'm drunk. I'm trying to take it out. You know.
Trying to take it all the way out.
Right.
Squirt it all the way out, Bethany.
Trying to bust
it. You said squirt it out.
Trying to squirt it all the way out, Bethany.
Yeah. B, just so you know, I've taken the Liz challenge.
Oh,
so, like, I'm taking the Liz challenge because, look, I've discovered some things about Miss Monique over there. Oh, and I was like, bruh, I need to learn how to fucking do that. Okay? Because
do what? Can we be specific?
Girl, like,
she saw a video.
I saw a video, and when I tell you the way her squirt is set up, I'm like,
wait a minute,
you
wait,
need to
wait.
Sell this.
Pause. So, we just shared videos.
We shared squirt videos.
At the moment where we were just sharing squirty videos. So,
yeah. So, were you guys like sitting beside each other, showing each other videos? Or did you like,
yeah. We were on the patio smoking. We didn't like exclude you in like a side chat. We were literally sitting there because we were talking about it. Right.
So, you were able to capture on camera. Both of you.
Wait. Well, hell yeah, you can catch a squirt on camera. Like,
yeah,
definitely catch a squirt. But the her shit is not even a squirt, because a squirt is like a water gun when you go like pew pew, you know, like pew pew pew. Her shit is like, have you ever had a broken faucet and tried to like turn that bitch off, but it wouldn't turn off? So then you try to like put some shit there, and then like the water just starts seeping from like, bruh. Her shit, the way her squirt is set up, bruh.
It's funny. I love her.
Bruh, I was like, the fuck? Bruh, I've been drinking like 3 big ass bottles of fucking water.
It's water intake. That's all it is.
The conclusion.
So it's about the water.
It's water intake, but also it's arousal. So like, you know me, I had to do a further search.
That was my next question. Like, so I mean,
I had to do a further search.
Water.
It is just, it's more than just water. So you have to be not only hydrated, you have to be overtly hydrated. Like enough, like, you know, when like in the Bible, when it say your cup runneth over, we'll see her cup. Yes. Runneth over. So look, it's water intake and arousal. And what I come to realize is my arousal tolerance is really fucking high. Like, so
explain.
Yeah, that's the reason why my squirt ain't set up like her squirt. So like, the way fellas, if y'all listening, grab a pen, grab a pen and paper. I'm about to give y'all some insight.
Drop some jewels.
So the way the vagina is set up, you gotta think of it like a penis, right? So like, when a penis is aroused, it gets hard. Well, when we get aroused, our clitoris gets hard, and it also puffs up too, just like your balls too. Like your balls puff up too, like when you're aroused.
Vagina.
The whole vagina puffs up and the clit gets hard. Listen, fellas, if that clit is not hard, there's not going to be any squirt. And if it is, it's probably going to be like a little drizzle. But that in order for that baby to run, like for them levees to break like Katrina, honey, that clit got to be hard. So you need to figure out how to make the clitoris hard. If that's slowly rubbing it or licking it or licking and rubbing at the same time. But I'm letting y'all know right now. Or a toy. But I'm letting y'all know right now that sandpaper rub that some of y'all motherfuckers be trying to do. You know that.
Damn, not the sandpaper.
Home Depot sandpaper rub. Nigga, that's not going to do it. That's definitely not going to do it. And so then after you get the clitoris hard, you insert 2 fingers. Not like going really hard once again. Insert 2 fingers, press up. There's a little button. And once you hit that button, if she's properly hydrated, the levees will break. Okay? And it's going to be full on Katrina everywhere.
The
fucking
end.
Everywhere. The end. This message was brought to you by Women Orgasms Matter.
Okay? Yes. Yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm over here laughing. Let me go get my water. Shit, while y'all bullshitting.
See, that's really good info, because it's only happened to me once. I've only had that happen to me one time.
And how did you feel about it?
And I was drunk, so I feel like drunk sex. You know, I'd be lit. I'm more comfortable, more relaxed. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Get a little wild and crazy.
You know I get a little crazy.
Crazy when I get drunk.
You know I get a little crazy.
See, that's why I miss like going to the club, or even like when we used to be at work, like when me and Meek, we would go and dance, we, you know, take shots, we turned up, not to mention we're in lingerie, we all dolled up, we feeling sexy, we drinking, and then after, like, you ready to take it out on somebody.
I mean, I either took it out on the stage or or somebody got that phone call.
That pull up.
You up?
What's your gate code?
Leave the door unlocked.
You up? Tell your doorman. Give your doorman my name. Stop playing.
That way, okay?
Yeah, I'm on my way. Door already open. During my drunken moments, I may sometimes, it all depends, because it's like a limit to my drunk sex. I definitely got to be drunk. I can't just be. It's levels to it. But I can't be too saucy, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I'm out.
I had drunk sex before and was, like, going down on a dude and, like, got lightheaded and threw up on his dick. Like, and that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not cool.
The throw up on the dick, here we go.
He may have liked it.
I don't know if he did or not, but, like, I couldn't finish, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, it wasn't, his dick was big, blah, 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 but, like, it was also just because I was drunk that I was throwing up, too. Like, it was just embarrassing all the way around. Like,
I got drunk and fell asleep.
See, now that part.
I got high and fell asleep.
Now that part.
That comatose high that you get from eating edibles, bruh.
Coma.
I'm talking about, like, stiff.
I don't know. That shit make me levitate.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Look at us.
But, see, it depends on what I drink, too, because I know that tequila makes me aggressive. And I used to go off on my ex. Like, we used to get into arguments and I'm just like mad belligerent and shit. But that was just honestly me wanting him to take it out on me. Like, you know.
Get a little aggressive with you.
Yeah. Put my face in the pillow. Yeah. I'm trying to.
Then I'm pulling it over.
Face in the pillow.
Tell us more, Bethany. Mm. Tell us more.
No, I'm telling you, tequila.
Spit on me like.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a song. Because you was like, put your head, you never heard that song? He was like,
jealous.
It's called Nasty.
By who?
I'm about to
like, he'd go. No, wait.
it's by the baby.
She know I'm nasty. Yeah. She like when I pull it out and I put it all over her ass cheeks.
Oh.
Yeah. She don't gotta ask me.
Okay, we gotta cut because we don't want iTunes coming for us. Okay.
I'm good.
You don't like that song? I think I like that song.
No, thank you.
Okay. You know, for you to be, you know, so LA, first off, the Lakers just won a championship.
Congratulations. I mean, who didn't know that?
Right.
If Butler accomplishes this will be like, come on, stop playing. Get the fuck out of here.
But for you to be so LA, like, you love some ratchet country shit, Liz.
What do you mean country shit? What other country shit she listen to?
Bruh, she like Gucci and Gotti, and she's sitting here listening to a baby. Like, come on.
She don't be listening to them like that, but, like, she stay listening to ratchet shit for real. Like, she be like, yo, like, she be listening to SoundCloud, my nigga.
Like, I don't have SoundCloud.
That's the question she listens to. She listens to SoundCloud.
She likes SoundCloud rappers.
Right.
Cool. But yeah, shout out to the Lakers. I'm glad, you know, they won. You know, people saying, you know, do it for Kobe. Cool. I appreciate that. You know, as a huge Kobe fan, I'm like, it's good for LA to get something. Because when LeBron signed with the Lakers and everybody in Vegas, because, you know, Vegas is the, you know, is pretty close to LA. So it's a lot of Laker fans here. But I was just telling people, like, well, just because LeBron's here doesn't mean he's going to win a championship, let alone make it to the playoffs. And they didn't make the playoffs. And people thought, like, I was tripping when I said that. But I'm like, you know, as long as they get the right pieces, they got your boy, Ant Davis.
Yeah, yeah. Your boy.
There, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. You gotta lick your fingers and eyebrows.
That was a weird championship like celebration to not have like a crowd and your family there and everybody. Like it was just like quiet. It was some, but like we didn't get to see. You know who I love LeBron James' daughter. She is the cutest little girl. I love, like, she just steals the show. She reminds me, like, of how Steph Curry's daughter, whenever she's on TV, she steals the show. Like, she is the show.
Yeah.
I love her. But, yeah, so.
You be so touching on your own body.
That was you last week. What did I say last week? And you was like, ooh. What I asked you, who did you want to see with the OnlyFans? Are you still sticking with Young Thug and Burna Boy?
Hell yeah, bro.
Bro.
It's either going to go really bad or really good. You know what I'm saying? It's either I'm going to subscribe or I'm going to unsubscribe.
You're going to subscribe. Come on, dog. You're going to subscribe? Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Miss Sawidi. Her boyfriend, Mr. Migos, aka Quavo. He shared the DM that I guess like landed her or whatever. So he sent her a snowflake because you know she's icy. Haters wanna fight me or however the song goes. And then she sent him back a bowl of soup, which I am going to assume means stir fry because the Migos have a song called Stir Fry. That's the only explanation I have because a bowl of soup just of noodles. I don't get it, but.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
And so he responds. He says, "You so icy, I'm a glacier boy." And like, okay. And she said, "What's happening then?"
Oh my God. Say it again, B. Say it again.
What's happening then? Mm. You know, ghetto love.
Mm-mm. She from the Bay. From the Bay.
But happening is like a Southern thing, ain't it? When I think of happening, I think of the Yin Yang Twins and shit. Like, that's who I think of. But yeah, like ever since he shared this, he has given men the confidence to throw snowflakes in these women's DMs. Did y'all get any? I got one.
No, they know not to send me.
Like people, the fellas that's in my DM, they already know. They over here trying to send me Coltrane links and shit. Like they not sending me no damn snowflakes.
Coltrane.
Yes.
They've been listening to the show. They know you like jazz.
Yeah, they don't hit you with it.
She get questions like, "What is your deepest thoughts in the middle?"
Yeah, I really do. I really do. What did you think on apostles? Like, what? Oh. Not apostle, but Aristotle's. Like,
Aristotle.
I get all of that. I don't get no glacier boys. They know better than that.
So, I already know the answer with Liz, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Oh, God.
What would it take for someone to grab your attention in your DMs? Is this something that you would absolutely overlook? Because there's something when guys enter my DMs and they have typos, I can't. Like, I literally just, I tune everything out.
What do they be saying in your DMs, Bethany?
Damn, you got fat ass. What's your name? Where are you from? Literally, if you go to my bio, my name
is there.
From right there. That's so that shows me that you can't read.
You don't read. Not that you can't. You just don't.
You
just
don't.
Choose like, not to.
So what, like the ones that grab your attention, what do they say?
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see everything. It's just a matter of if I respond or not. And I usually don't respond.
But what determines it that you do?
I respond to people who, like, for real listen to the podcast and they have something to say about the show. I respond to that. And that's about it. I don't respond because, first, if we don't have any mutual friends that I've never met you before, and here we are in a pandemic, I don't see myself meeting you or getting to know you anytime soon. So I'm not.
It doesn't matter. Like that question that you asked, that you placed on the floor, like, you saying, like, the DMs is not the way to gain your attention? Like,
it's not.
Does a man have to have a certain type of status or stature? Yeah,
we talked about this, some of the girls and I, we talked about this in Mexico. Like, does it take a blue check, like a verified account, for you to, like, pay attention? Is it a certain status? Well, yeah, that's what you can, but people buy them because it gets people's attention. You know what I mean? That's why people buy it, because it's like a status symbol in a way.
I have to say, I'm surprised that that shit still works. Like, everyone knowing the ins and outs of how you can basically beef up your portfolio, I'm surprised that people are still, like, identifying that as some type of, like, status or something.
Yeah. I mean, look, we live in Las Vegas. We work around celebrities and people from all over the world. That shit doesn't impress us. But, Amanda from goddamn Mississippi, who's 25, see a guy with a check mark, a verified check, might be like, oh, who is this girl? He might have like 20,000 followers and she's interested. Literally, that's sometimes all it takes for some people. For me, it means nothing.
Ladies, don't be fooled by a blue check.
Don't be.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, that definitely don't mean nothing. I've entertained somebody who did that, had one picture and like 300 followers.
Yes, you told us about the coffee date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she low key went on a blind date.
On a blind date. Like if you're able to showcase your intelligence and your personality through a DM, to me, that takes a certain level of intelligence to be able to do that. So, yeah, I would, you know, at one point in time would have, you know, entertained that. So.
Yeah, still sticking with my answer, not entertaining anybody in my DMs. Don't try it. Don't think about it. Just give up already. Trying to help you out.
But with the pandemic and corona and everything being limited, like, this is the social playground now. You know, like, we don't have a lot of interactions, like, with people. So how are you supposed to meet people?
I'm at work Friday through Sunday.
What is that supposed to be?
So I'm being social with people.
So she's meeting people at work.
All right.
Speaking of, how is work going? Like, are you guys going to be open until, like, what is it looking like? Because the weather is still hot.
Yeah, it is. The weather's actually been good, decent. We are looking to be open until Halloween. So Halloween will be our last, you know, day if the weather stays very awesome.
Bruh, we went to the club for Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, the day before Halloween, it was so fucking cold, dog.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the car like, y'all be going out in the wintertime half naked for what? Like, I felt like
we had on them little ass
below
costumes.
30. Yeah, them costumes.
See-through. I park close. I park close to the entrance, and I like sprinted in my heels and shit.
Yep, me too. Ran inside. All the way to the stairs.
I just rub my body with the stripper's delicacy. You know what I'm saying? Some baby oil. Like, you get out the shower, rub your body down with baby oil. Like, it clogs your pores. So when you go outside, you ain't fucking hot. That's the trick.
Or you're not cold.
You're not cold. There you go. That's the trick. Strippers delicacy.
It don't work for me.
You using the wrong shit. You over here trying to use all this organic shit. You ain't supposed to use the organic shit. You need to get you some old school baby oil gel, not the baby oil liquid shit. The baby oil gel right out the shower, like literally right out the shower. Take that towel, take all little wet droplet shits off, and like just go to town. You ain't gonna be, you really not gonna be cold.
Just go to town.
You really not gonna be cold. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's gonna be, you're gonna start sweating. Like, what the fuck? It's because it clogged your pores.
Yo, are we doing anything for Halloween? Besides, I guess you're gonna be at work.
But that's daytime. I don't work the night. Shift.
I don't know if I like. I'm just seeing, I'm seeing how shit is being ran from the airports to the hospitals, and I'm just really not trusting it, to be honest. Like, niggas, it's beyond niggas acting like we open, but establishments and businesses and corporations are also not taking proper precautions. And let's just honest, This 6 feet apart and this roping off of chairs and shit. All it does is just designate you to where the fucking corona is. That's all it does. So, yeah, I'm not fucking trusting it. I don't know if I'm going to do anything.
Yeah, because my son is asking, like, oh, I'm so excited for Halloween. Like, you know, he's ready to get a costume and he's ready to go, like, trick-or-treating. I'm like, yeah, so about that. So I was thinking, like, maybe we could do something with our kids and, like...
No, we can.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, you guys don't even want to go to the pumpkin patches because those are open.
I mean, we can carve pumpkins at home, dog.
We can do that. We definitely can do that.
Cut, or, you know, pumpkins, you know, do something creative.
I'm down.
Yeah, we'll talk about this after the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about Miss Jenny Mai of The Real. She has some things to say. She is engaged to Mr. Young Jeezy, the Snowman. And I guess people, for some reason, have a problem with what she said. So she said on the show with our co-host that she wants Jeezy to lead in their marriage while she takes on a more submissive role. Although some people have a negative take on it, Jenny made it clear that being submissive in her context doesn't mean that she's lower than her husband. So she went on to say, she's like, going into my marriage, I want to submit to my man. And she said, let me explain. When I hear this definition, submitting has a negative connotation. It means that you are less important. You are lower than the person that you're submitting to. It usually can be referenced as someone who works lower than you, and that's not what I'm referring to here. So she was talking about how she's a dominant woman, how she's a business owner, how she like was managing her own life. But when it comes to coming home to her man, she wants to come home to a man who leads the household. And I'm gonna be honest, I 100% agree with everything that she said. I do. Because we know what it's like to be working women. We are the house managers. We take care of everything from bills to the kids to the food. We are everything as far as nurses, stylists, teachers. Like, we do everything. And this is for other people, not just ourselves. Like when we go to work, we have to manage our finances. We got so much responsibility. Wouldn't it be nice to come home to someone who will just alleviate that? I think I really agree with everything that she said there. What do you think?
I definitely agree to everything she said as well. But it's like, I mean, I feel like, honestly, a lot of girls feel this way. I mean, not a lot of girls, because obviously people disagree with what she said. But then, like, we have a problem with men who don't even know how to, you know what I'm saying, be worthy of being submitted. Submissive too. So,
yeah.
Like yeah. It just honestly depends on your man and your situation.
I think
you can't just get that to everybody.
But I think what's I think what's important here is the definition of submission or being submissive. And I think initially, like the definition that a lot of people cling to is the definitions that is highly preached and practiced within religion or the patriarchy, you know, system that we are conditioned in. So like she made it very clear as to what her definition was. And then when Adrian heard it, she also agreed that that's not what she thought. You know what I mean? Like Adrian thought of it as someone looking at her as less than and not equal to. And I think that's what's important. I think that's probably what's rubbing a lot of the women the wrong way, is that they're looking at it like, oh, they come second to their husband. And it's like, no, I think it's important for each participating party to have an understanding of their purpose within the relationship. That way things don't get all haywire, you know? And then when people understand what their position is, y'all can have smooth sailing from there. I am definitely one of those that agree with Jenny as well. I believe that during the women's rights movement, that I don't think they really understood what the hell they were taking on. Like, yes, we want to be looked at as equal in the work field and so on. But I do think that some of those women assume that if they went into the work field, that their men counterpart would like take on more on the domesticated side. And that did not happen. Like, that didn't happen. And so now has been our like load has been like not only to be, you know, take care of the home front of like kids, cleaning, cooking and all that, but we're also like looked at like, oh, you're gonna have a job too, right? You're gonna go get that money, be just as equally educated. And it's a lot. It takes on a lot. I mean, it's a lot of freaking work to like try to balance all of that. And so if I'm dealing with a man that comes in and he's not like just like both of you guys said, like you can't just ask for that position. You have to be able to like withstand within that position by providing and or alleviating some of those responsibilities off of me.
Exactly. You yes. know?
So it doesn't automatically mean that I'm the only one doing the cooking and cleaning. I would like both of us to do cooking and cleaning. Like, if you cook better than me, Nikki, let's get to it. I'll wash the dishes while you sit up here and chop up some bell pepper, onions, and celery. You feel me? Like, it's definitely about teamwork. But I also, I say this a lot. I feel like as Black women, we're not given the privilege to really explore our femininity. And I think that comes in with that, where it's like, I want to feel like a woman when I'm with my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to feel like I know what it feels like to be a mother to a child. And if I always feel like I'm leading in every situation in my relationship, I'm going to feel like your mother.
Right.
I do not like that at all. Like, I'm gonna feel like your mother. So like, some women might not look at it that way, but I definitely do. It, like I said before, it doesn't mean that we have to have traditional gender roles, but like, you know, I like what my man says, don't worry about it, I got it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, like, I got that. Okay, this is what we're doing. Okay, this is where I see us. Da, da, da. And then, you know, like, of course, my voice is definitely counted and just as equally important. But yeah,
I feel like with a lot of Black women in particular, we have to, it's hard for us to be submissive, because that means we have to trust our partner wholeheartedly to do their part. And a lot of us have been let down in the past. So it's hard for us to be like, you know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let him do his thing. Because before, in other relationships, you may have done that. And someone let down big time. And so being submissive is a lot of work, actually. It's not an easy thing to do. You really have to trust your partner.
And the trust is the main factor of it. But then this is one thing that we also counter out, is that in order to give trust, you have to give you have to allow opportunity for you to give trust. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just completely, like, shut that down. Like, oh, yeah, I don't trust these niggas. You know what I mean? Like, well, you never going to trust these niggas because you don't even allow the opportunity for trust to even be earned. But also besides that, and I'm not trying to generalize at all, but we do have to, like, count into the fact of, like, how our community is set up. You know, women are the breadwinners in majority of our families, in our family structures, you know what I'm saying? And so a lot, just like how as being single, being a father's daughter, like I've never seen a man take the lead. I didn't witness that growing up.
Yeah.
But I have to also think that there's also black males that grew up that never saw a man lead either. So it's like, where the hell do you pull from? You know what, movies? Like, what the fuck do you pull from to understand, like, the type of state of mind a man should have if he wants to, presume the position of being the leader of his household? So I think that's another thing where, you know, we kind of do come down on men, like, well, these men don't do it. It's like, well, they really don't. I have a strong female role model, my mama. She's the one who taught me how to, like, the grit, the grind, like, pivot, do what the fuck you gotta do. That's who I pull from.
And that's what Jenny said. Like, she grew up with that. And so it's hard to be like, you know what? I'm going to be submissive. I'm going to, you know, trust my partner. Mm-hmm. When you've grown up with a woman who leads in every single aspect of her life. So when you're not around it, for me, my dad is a great provider, leader. He's all that. You know what I mean? So I was able to see that. Yeah, shout out to Pops. So, Elizabeth, relax, Elizabeth. Okay.
I just gave Daddy a shout out.
You always trying to give my daddy a shout out.
Hey, Daddy.
But like, I literally saw. I know what it's like, you know, to have a man lead. So if I don't see those qualities in you in the dating stage, there's not going to be any submitting happening. So it's just not going to happen. I would love for that, because especially working as a dancer in Vegas, like, you know, like I said before, like, we are these figures at work. People look up to us. We are these strong, liberated, sexy women, and people just look at us as powerful. When I come home, I want that stripped off. I want to be submissive. Because at work, I'm this, like, powerhouse. So when I come home, I don't want to be that. Let me be soft and feminine and
relax.
Alleviate this shit off of me, please.
Yeah.
Did you feel like
that
to me? Like,
I actually, see, we pull from two different places when we go on the stage. So, like I said, I grew up with, like, a very strong, I call her Iron Woman. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was my Oprah, my mom. Like, you know, so in my everyday, I am a iron fucking woman. Like, friends have said, like, I barely see Meek cry or Meek touch on emotion or, you know what I mean, type of thing. And so when I hit the stage, I used the stage to tap into my femininity. I was able to tap into my sex kitten and my submissiveness, like, when I hit the stage. And that's how I would hypnotize these niggas, you know? With, you know, like, tapping into that. So me, like, if I was coming home to a partner, I would want to be able to further explore that on a more one-on-one level instead of, like, me, you know, tapping into that for a performance for everybody. So, like, it's a bit different for me, you know, because, like I said, outside the stage, I'm mom, you know, I'm the main provider, I'm the cleaner, I'm, you know, trying to run a business, like, letting motherfuckers know, like, don't fuck with me. Like, that's the type of shield I have on. So, but when I hit that stage, it's a whole different Meek, you know? So,
beast out there.
Yeah, so, but I will say that, what I will say is, like I was able to pull that grit. So, but I also saw the downside of it. Like, my mom has been remarried 4 times. And, like, with each marriage, it was a whole different, it was a different version of her. And I saw how, like, eventually through she learned her lessons and she became this more submissive and understanding. It's like my mom finally has been able to tap into her femininity, because my mama back in the day, like with me growing up, was a whole different woman compared to how she is now with this current husband. So through that, turn like, no, I'm serious, because like in like the first couple of marriages, like when I tell you the way she would just talk to these men, you'd be like, crazy. What the fuck? Now she doesn't, you know, but like we said before, like your partner has to be able to sustain that position, because there has to be not only trust, but a level of respect, you know, with shared with one another. So if I look at you less than, and like I said before, if I feel like I'm leading and I'm like low key being a mom, I'm going to treat you like the 6-year-old that you are.
What do you say?
And it's exhausting.
Flintstone vitamins.
I am, like, you're going to get that type of, like, being patronizing, sarcasm, like, you're going to get that from me, you know, but I, like, nowadays, I don't entertain that type of shit, but that, like, it's in me to do that, you know, so it's like, no, like, you, in order to ride this ride, you have to have in certain qualifications, because I know how I'm set up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question for y'all. Did you guys watch the debate with Kamala Harris and Vice President Pence?
Yeah, I sure did.
Did you watch?
I was at work.
I was, okay. See, I was in Mexico with no signal. I couldn't watch. So once I was finally able to get back on Wi-Fi, what I saw, which, of course, the fly landing on Pence's head was like a headline.
I saw that everywhere.
Look, it was everywhere.
I'm from the boot, honey. I'm from New Orleans. Like, shit like that is an almond. You can't fuck with no nigga that a fly could just chill on his head like that. Yeah, right there. That's as worse as getting your feet swept by the broom. Like, honey, don't do no shit like that.
Well, my first job was at Dairy Queen, Orange Julius in the mall in Greensboro. And I used to clean up, you know, close up the store at the end of the night. And I accidentally swept my coworker's feet. Shout out to Sekou. I know he listens to the podcast. I swept his feet one night and he flipped, bro. Like, I didn't, because it wasn't like a thing for me in my house, but I mean, then again, it was just me and my mom, so like, we're not going to be in each other's way. But he just like flipped out, like, you don't sweep people's feet.
Nah, honey.
But yeah, that fly on his head, it just took over. But the only other thing that I really saw, like, from watching the highlights and like reading, you know, social media, was Kamala Harris's facial expressions. And people were so focused on her facial expressions. But I'm like, can someone please tell me what she was talking about? Why was everyone so distracted from her face or her tone of voice? Like, and I just feel like as a Black woman, and I've had this happen to me here in Vegas, where people feel like my facial expressions are just so distracting that I'm labeled as, I have an attitude, or I'm hard to work with, or whatever. And you get this whole angry Black woman label, when literally it's just, I'm just being expressive. But when you have someone in the debate with Trump and Hillary Clinton, Trump was making the ugliest facial expressions.
He always make ugly faces.
He's so damn ugly, bro. I can't. But why do people not focus on these things? We know what it is. When you're a Black woman, you have to put on this mask to make yourself look like some friendly person, to, you know, be likable. Because people are like, oh, I'm an undecided voter. But now that I've seen the way that, you know, Kamala speaks and her facial expressions, so I'm just not going to vote for her. It's like, based on her facial expressions, bro, You're not going to talk about what she actually had to say in comparison to what Pence was talking about. It's so annoying. And it really made me think back to like how I made a conscious decision to no longer code switch. Who you see right now, this is me all day, every day. I don't code switch. I don't change up my tone. I'm country. Sometimes you're going to hear my accent. Sometimes you, whatever. This is what I sound like. And even when I speak to my son, I talk to Prince just like this. So I don't code switch in any part of my life. I don't care who I'm speaking to. This is what I sound like. Do you guys code switch?
Hell no. I never did. And it's not even on some, I'm black and I'm proud and I never code switch. No, it's definitely not like that. It's just because I couldn't. Shit, I fucking couldn't. I didn't know how. Like, I tried over and over, but it didn't fucking work for me. So, yeah. Like, this is definitely what you're going to get. And I've just learned to accept that. Like, definitely. Go ahead, E.
I feel like I've definitely code switched. To me, I don't know. It's different because I'm not code switching to like please anybody. You know what I'm saying? It's just for me on my, like, I code switch sometimes if it's like, it depends on like the business I'm going in, like my modeling career. Like, I can't go in there. I mean, I can go in there and be ratchet, but like, I'm a little too ratchet. So I have to kind of and talk like, you know, like, hey. Elizabeth.
Hi, guys. It's Elizabeth.
Hi. So I kind of do it for, you know, I don't know, like business-wise. Not necessarily code-switching to please anybody because I really don't care because eventually you keep talking to me and you're going to see the real me. So
I used to, because of business. I worked in corporate and because I know that my name is Bethany Anderson. And when a black girl walks in, I know it throws them the fuck off. It's like,
yeah,
not who we expected.
Elizabeth. Yeah, I'm like,
yeah. Right. Right. And so I used to really like that. I really liked like kind of giving them the okie doke, like, ah, my name got me in a room. But when I used to work for this hotel company, this hotel group. I worked in customer service and I used to answer phones a lot. And so people used to get distracted by my accent. Oh my God, where are you from? And so I tried to cover my accent just so I could just do business and not have to worry about having to small talk about where I'm from. I don't care that your grandma was raised in Raleigh. Who gives a fuck? So I was like, you know what? I don't want people to hear my accent. So that was one thing that I used to do, but I got to a point where I'm like, I need to be fully accepting of who I am, where I come from. This is my accent. This is where I'm from, you know, because being a black woman from the South, like I've only been able to trace my roots to South Carolina. That's where it stops. So I'm going to embrace it. This is what I know. This is who I am. And this is what you're going to get. And it's not only that, if you look at social media, there's a lot of non-black women who want this flavor that we naturally have. And so they put on these black scents or whatever. They darken their skin, they get tans or whatever to emulate what we have naturally. So why try to cover it up? You know what I mean?
Right. But do you think that like enunciating your words to just project clearer is, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like there's a difference, you know, like, I think because I think there's a formal way of talking and then there's an informal way of talking. But then I think that what makes code switching is the intent behind why you feel you need to do that shit. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not about to sit up here and conduct a meeting, you know what I mean? Like, with a whole bunch of bitches and motherfuckers. I'm not. The only reason why is because I feel like it's going to interfere with whatever we got planned or, you know, like whatever's on the schedule. So I'm gonna try to be as clear and as precise as possible. But I don't feel like I'm trying to do that or talk formally to like impress anybody else. Like, nah, fuck that. Like, you're not about to get all that. You know?
Yeah, I get that.
But what the thing with, how do you say her name?
Kamala?
Kamala. Okay. With the thing with Kamala is, I'm not gonna sit up here and act like she wasn't doing that. Like she wasn't, you know, being condescending at times or making certain faces. She absolutely was. Who the fuck cares? If you saying some bullshit, I'm not gonna sit up here and fucking smile. Like you're my opponent. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
Debating just like the court. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm on the court and I'm making a face at you, it's because you're my opponent. We're going against each other. And honestly, like, that narrative is something that, you know, the right wing is trying to perpetuate. So that way, you know what I mean? It can condition people to look at Black women a certain way. And it's right. sad. It's definitely sad. But who
but
the
you
fuck
know what's
cares?
Funny? On social media, people like to use Black women as reaction, like GIFs and videos right. and memes. Like, they love NeNe Leakes and New York and all these different women with the, you know, they're very expressive. But when it comes to this, we're supposed to just not, we're supposed to be mute. We're not supposed to have any facial expression. We're supposed to be dead in the face. Like, what? Why?
Right. But both candidates came back. And you can tell. And I'm going to be honest. That's like I'm going to get off of Sister Girl real quick and get on to this fucking... This demon of a dude, like, he looks like he's, like, grandmaster of some KKK white supremacist plan. Like, he definitely does. And I don't know if anybody has seen Lovecraft Country, but he looked like he can be one of the police officer characters on Lovecraft Country. Like, and then, like, it was between the pink eye and the fly, like, something ain't right. And then you can tell that he was purposefully, like, trying to, like, give her flowers, like, oh, yeah, we appreciate when that, like, being, it's low-key being nice, nasty, as though mm-hmm. we are dumb enough where we can't see you, my nigga, like, we fucking see you, and I guess that's what my whole thing is, like, with, why I keep forgetting her name, Kamala. I be wanting to say Kamala, like, be yourself, be your fucking self, like, be
you know
who
you
were. Be who you were on that stage when you were going against Biden. Like, be, because it's going to be an offset. Joe is really smooth and real, like, you know, he give you smooth jazz kind of feels, like some Kenny G. And you are the fire. Like, you're the fire. So be that, you know, and be strong. Like, don't sit up here and conform for these motherfuckers because they can see it. And they're gonna deem it as weak. Because just like how you saw... Just like how you said people were talking about her facial expressions, there was also some other people that they felt like she was intimidated and she was weak as a weak speaker. So, sister girl,
either
be
way,
you.
She was going to be, yeah. So,
be
you.
You.
You know who she reminded me of, though? Claire Huxtable.
No, she did not. Don't say that. No, she did not.
No,
absolutely.
So let me speak. So I felt like she reminded me of Claire because it was almost like she's talking to a child. Like, it's almost kind of like, I'm speaking. No. Like, let me speak. Like, she's...
Yeah,
she's,
condescending. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
because,
not, but
because
Claire
he,
has
but
a
he,
grace
he
to
absolutely
it.
Deserves that.
No, but Claire has a grace to it. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, you could tell she was nervous.
Well, that's Felicia Rashad. But I'm saying,
yeah.
like...
No, but I'm talking about Claire. I'm talking about Claire, the character. I know that it's Felicia Rashad. I'm talking about Claire, the character. Claire has a... Her whole character had a whole grace to her. So when she spoke, she had this very motherly, nurturing grace about her. But you knew she was about business. And she also exuded confidence. Kamala does not exude confidence, and you can tell she was nervous. If you pull up the tape and compare that debate to the debate against Biden, those are two different Kamalas. She has to come and be confident and stand behind her stance and stand behind her words and be who she is. I know that she can do it, but she definitely did not showcase that on that stage. Like, and they still tore her apart. She was deliberately trying to be submissive and trying to be, you know, more likable. And she tried the whole little bang with the little clip. Sister girl, be you. Be you. They gonna tear you apart no matter what. No matter what.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely, over here, I got Claire Huxtable vibes. Because it's like she's talking to fucking Theo Huxtable to me. Because Mike Pence is just like, he's so vapid. I can't with him.
I still, and it's so crazy, it's so ironic that right when he start talking about sexism, the fly was like, oh, that's my cue. Like, oh, bullshit coming out your mouth. Oh, okay. Like, and landed right on his motherfucking head. Like, how the fuck you gonna get on national TV and state that systemic racism does not exist? If you, what?
Because they want black people to make us feel like we are just making shit up, like we're living in some alternate universe where we're experiencing things that no one else can see. It's clear as day.
I mean, after everything that's happened in 2020, like alone, 2020 alone, for you to get on a national, that just lets me know your whole fucking stance. And let's be honest, I'm thankful they did not impeach Trump, because we would have that demon of a motherfucker as president.
And we talked about that last week. He honestly is worse than Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is really the puppet.
That all right, y'all. Out of Shawishka, whatever the shit, like, like burn into his arm or some shit. Like,
all right, y'all, we're gonna move on to our red light special. If you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com. And today we have one from Lindsay. She writes, hey, I have a question for the Red Light Special segment. I love the show, and I really love how dope you all are as moms. I am a new mommy, and I really miss being a bad bitch. Did you or the other girls struggle with your self-image or self-confidence? Because I am. My daughter is almost a year old, and it has been hard for me to pull myself together. My daughter's dad made a comment about working out again, but with COVID, I really don't want to go to the gym, and I'm not motivated at home. I just don't feel like myself since giving birth. Maybe it's postpartum blues or something. I don't know. I just want to know if you ladies ever felt this way, because I'm the only mom out of my group of friends. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Thank you, Lindsay, for sending that. I appreciate it, because look, this has been a whole process to get to who I am right now. So did you ladies want to speak on this?
Yeah.
She said she missed being a bad bitch, so.
Lindsay, you should always feel like a bad bitch. But I definitely experienced, you know, I didn't go through postpartum after giving birth. I don't know, I would call it like mommy blues. Like, I didn't feel like myself. Like, I felt disgusting. I have insecure issues, you know, and still do. And I still have to bring myself out of it by telling myself that I'm a bad bitch, you know? But yeah, it took a while. It took a lot of regaining confidence in yourself for me personally, because I felt like being a mom, like, my life was over. Like, everything was over. Like, my modeling career was over. I literally had to be mom 24/7. And as I got older and start seeing, you know, different stuff, I'm like, I don't have to be like mommy with stockings on, and you know what I'm saying, like, I could still be sexy mommy. Like, I don't have to be, you know, grandma mommy. Like, that's
wait,
what I thought.
Wait,
I had
you,
to be
you wore stockings?
I did.
I could just see Liz with like the knee highs on
the fuck
and a skirt.
What's that? What like what you did you have Lyric like on like a Amish like
like, no.
What the fuck? Like, no. see Liz with the two curls with the bun. No.
Okay. I wore my hair like that before.
I know.
Who didn't do that?
With stockings.
With stockings out. Nah, I didn't wear it with no stockings. Fuck y'all. Anyway, Lindsay. Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't go through postpartum. Going back to the gym actually made me regain confidence back in myself. So, literally at home, you could do workouts at home. You don't have to go to the gym. You got to do fine. Make yourself feel beautiful. I don't know. You got to figure it out your own way. What about you, ladies? I don't know. Did you guys experience that?
for me, it took a long time for me to get back into the groove of things. Like, I remember when I got the call, they asked me to come back to dance. And they're like, yo, you know, we have an audition on this day. You know, wear your black bra and your black booty shorts and your heels. And I'm like, okay. I will say, though, that I didn't struggle with weight after having my son. I really, it was a snapback, and I'm grateful for that. But even though I did have a snapback, emotionally and mentally, it was not a snapback. That shit took a long time for me to get to a point where I was comfortable in myself. So I went to this audition. Prince was almost 2 years old. And here I am with these new boobs, because I didn't have no titties before. I got these milk-filled boobs. I didn't have a bra that fit. I still kind of had like a little mommy pouch thing little going on, because I really didn't like work out. I was just home mom, stay-at-home mom 24/7. And I didn't like going to the gym, because Prince and the whole, like, you know, the little kids area where you, you know, take your kids like YMCA or the gym or whatever, and you leave them. He used to scream. He was just, they used to call me over the intercom, like, come and get your child. He is.
Yeah, I used to take Lyric that too.
Oh my God. So I went to this audition, and this is my first time being half naked in front of people for the first time. And so they turned on music, and I couldn't dance. I couldn't find the
beat. Did you lose your rhythm?
I lost my rhythm, dog. Like, I could not, I couldn't even fucking two-step. Like, I had been a dancer for years, and here I am at an audition, and they're playing some simple, like how, and I couldn't even find a beat. Like, I lost my rhythm. But they liked what they saw, and I got the job, and I was like, okay. But it really took me getting back into dancing and getting to the, like, what I used to do before becoming a mom to, like, segue back into bad bitchdom, if you want to call it.
How long would y'all say it took y'all to get?
Oh, God.
Mine was just last year.
Like, bro, I couldn't do my makeup. I couldn't dress myself. Like, if I was going out to meet some friends for drinks or something, I'm looking in my closet like, how do I even like put an outfit together? I just felt like I just lost my whole zhuzh. Like, I just wasn't myself. I couldn't lay my hair. Like, my makeup was whack. Everything was just whack. And because all of my focus was on my child. So everything, when it came to anything personal, I just couldn't. So it really took me. I probably was working for like 2 months before I fell into a groove of like, okay, I'm starting to recognize myself again. Like, it's not going to be a moment where you just like, oh, I feel like myself, and it's a gradual thing, but I feel like it's something that you absolutely do have to work on, but it's something that you have to pull from who you were before you became a mother. Like, you're not defined as a mother. Like, you shouldn't allow people to define you. You shouldn't be defined as, you know, who you are solely, as a mother.
Solely as a mother. Solely. Like, like, you are a number of things outside of you. You are Lindsay, you know, like, you were Lindsay before your baby came, and you're gonna be Lindsay after your baby has come.
Yo, did you guys experience this? Like, when people would call you, they would immediately, where's the baby? How's the baby? Like, they wouldn't say, hey, Meek. Hey, Elizabeth. How you doing? It's like, where my baby at? What they doing? Like, send me pictures. How come, you know, like, it's all about the child. Bro. I'm doing okay. Thanks for asking. Like, sarcastically, like, hello, I'm a whole woman here.
Actually, like, I'm doing.
Don't forget about who I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't find that to be selfish, because some people are like, well, you're a mom now, so you're supposed to be. No.
What the fuck does that mean?
Right. And I'm going to be honest. You know who I really loved as a mother? Amber Rose. Because she was just like, yeah, I'm a mama, but you still going to get these.
Young Miami, famous words by Young Miami. Well, because I had a baby, you think my pussy ain't going to work no more?
Okay.
No, no, for sure. You know what the sad part is with all of that, though, is that, like, it's it. What I'm learning is that we really don't know all that we need to know when it comes down to the birthing experience. And it's mainly because it's not shared. You know, like, you find 9 months pregnancy, labor, and now mom. But there's so many things that happen in those, you know, in between areas. I always say, like, it took me 2.5 years to even be able to reintroduce myself to myself. And I know you said, like, you're right, B, like, you got to pull from the person you were before. But the way I look at it is, I completely just redefined who I was. Like, and if you just, and Lindsay, if you think about it, like a body standpoint, you're not the same person. Your body has gone through this major transformation. You've given birth to a human being, and within yourself right now, you're going through a chemical balance. Like, your body has to rebalance.
Absolutely.
So it's like, you're not the same person. If you don't feel like you're the same person, it's because you're not. But you do have to start nurturing yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically to, like, rebuild yourself and redefine. I say you don't have to start with exercise. Just start with the food that you're eating. There's certain foods that will help you produce more of the happy hormone that eventually will lift your mood, you know, like, because that it's all science. It's definitely all science. And it's a lot of people that's not going to understand what you're going through.
So, you know what? Like, that's so funny that you say that, because I breastfed for 3.5 years. So I feel like after 2.5 years, like, I really found myself again. I was comfortable with, like, who I was. And once I stopped breastfeeding, no one told me that depression can set in after you stop breastfeeding. And I remember thinking, like, everything is going so well in my life. Like, why am I so, like, sad? And I found out, because I was producing so much oxytocin, the love hormone, every time I would breastfeed, it dropped dramatically once I stopped. So I wasn't getting that love hormone flowing through anymore. And so once I knew what was going on, because, like you said, people don't talk about this. Like, women need to share their stories more about, like,
what you're going through from each step.
Like, for real. Once that baby is out of you, your body is changing, like, by the day.
Yeah.
Like, you can give birth and, like, of course it hurts, but your body has adrenaline that's kicking in. So you don't automatically, like, feel the pain until maybe a day or two later, you feel like you got hit by a fucking bus.
Yeah, like, no one ran over in reverse.
Okay. Right. Right. And no one is telling you, like, day by day, things are changing within you. And it doesn't stop once your baby is one. It doesn't stop when your baby is two. Like, it's literally, like, I feel like women continue to go through changes up until, like, the kid is start school. Because
I think it's even surpassed that. And it definitely does correlate with your relationship with your child, because just like how you have that oxytocin from breastfeeding, you also experience that with co-sleeping. So if your baby is, you know, times where I'm like at home by myself and I'm sleeping by myself, I would notice that my mood has changed. Or even when you realize that, like, your baby has a, you're going to always be mommy, but, like, your baby has another favorite person. Like, but, like, a mental, like, charge, you know what I mean, that you still have to battle with and, like, deal with. So,
like, people don't let you know that, like, when your baby is potty trained, there's another part that they don't need you for. So as they gain independence, you're kind of like, oh shit, like, you know.
But that's the danger in mainly focusing on, like, you know, like, contributing your whole identity. Yeah, your whole identity to just your baby. And the way I like to say it is, a better you is it automatically for a better mom. So whatever that is, it definitely, like, you know, healthy. So I'm not trying to say if you feel like, you know, you out here smoking crack makes you a better you. You know what I mean? Like crack his nose.
She be doing too much. Like,
you know, so damn extra,
like, but hey, like just like Bethany, like you tote some weed and it relaxes you. If that puts you in a better mood around your baby, like your baby is going to benefit from that. Your baby,
feel
your
that
baby,
energy.
Exactly. Babies are highly like sensitive to energy around them. I realized that like anytime I felt the mommy blues come around, my baby would cry like crazy. My mom would come in and be like, you know what? I'm just going to take him. And she would take him to her house so that way I could like get myself together and then bring him back around. So it's like it's a for real thing. Like you have to nurture yourself and nurture. And like I said before, redefine who Lindsay is. You know, like you gonna always be a bad bitch, but this now you're making it a whole different step of like what that bad bitch looks like. And the beautiful thing is she can be whatever the fuck you want her to be. Absolutely. If she got pink hair, you know what I'm saying, like long ass nails, like your baby is gonna love every inch of you. It doesn't matter what the outside world has to say.
Yeah, and it just might take time. Like for me, like I really had to like redefine who I was, what I liked. I had to redefine like what do Elizabeth like? What do I like? Like I didn't know what color I liked anymore. I didn't know what type of food I liked anymore because solely I gave like everything to my baby and I forgot who I was. So I had to learn what I wanted and what I liked all over again. So it definitely takes time and it's not a bad thing. It's just your own time and your own process.
Right.
You gotta and refocus.
Also, mm-hmm. another thing to pull from too is like, not like it's to think of like the if I'd say if you're because I know this is impacting me. I'm raising a son, so me raising a son has definitely changed how I interact with men. You know, like I'm way more of like the men I choose to entertain, and because mm-hmm. I know that eventually if they become a major factor in my life, it's going to trickle down to my son. So it's the same thing, like if you, I don't know if you have a son or a daughter, but even if you have a daughter, you think of like, well, what kind of qualities do I want my daughter to pull from? Now you have to be realistic. Now you can't sit up here and try to become like Michelle Obama overnight. You know, even Michelle Obama will fucking tell you that. But like, there's things that you can like, you know, practice within yourself where you like, it, you know, I want my son to pick up what a routine looks like and what being responsible looks like, what healthy communication looks like. Like, and so I had to start learning those qualities because I didn't have those qualities, you know, before Elijah. I start picking up those qualities because I knew that that was something I wanted my son to pick up. But of course, you have to exemplify that in order for them to pick that up. So it's definitely takes time.
To answer your question, Lindsay, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. The gym may not be the answer. Mm-hmm. It's more than working out and getting your body right. It's a lot of mental and emotional work that you have to do as well.
And also, you got to also, sorry to cut you off, but also you have to think of when you go to the gym, are you going to do, like right now, your cup is not full. Your cup is probably less than 50%. What I mean by that is like your self-esteem, your insecurities may be flared, which is okay. It's a part of the process, but it might not be too healthy to go into an environment where you're probably going to like compare yourself to other people and you don't even know what their journeys and stuff is. Bruh. I always say like, you know, get your mental right before you try to get on the physical, because if you don't, you're not going to see the results that you want to see.
True.
Start at
because
home.
It starts at home.
I start at home.
Home base for mm-hmm. sure. All right, so we're going to close this episode, but before we do, Miss Meek, do you have a quote that you would like to share with us?
So I don't have a quote, but I do have
Go Lakers.
I do have an important message. So yesterday was International Mental Health Awareness. And so this is like a perfect segue into that. Like we said before, when we were talking to our amazing listener, Lindsay, mental health is so important and it's not talked about quite often, and conversations are not brought up. And that's the way we're able to learn and gain knowledge on mental health. And it's very important, especially amongst the Black community. 17%, you know, that's like 1 out of 5 Black folks suffer from some type of mental illness disorder, which relates to like 7 million people. That's a lot of fucking people. So, you know, it's real important to like reach out, find the resources, you know, communicate, share stories, and get the intended help that you need. If you have any questions, like, either speak to a trusted, and I emphasize the word trusted,
yes, friend
or family member, or seek out the proper like research groups or like community groups where you don't even have to share your story. You can just sit in and just hear, so that way you know that you're not alone. So I just want to bring that up.
I love it. All right, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. We would love for you guys to subscribe, watch us on YouTube. We are on Count the Dings Network on YouTube, where you can see everyone from Black Opinions Matter to Wednesday Service with Naima, Woke Bros. We got so much going on. Thank you so much for tuning in to us, and we will see you guys next week. Holla.
Go Lakers!